Hello, this is a collaboration between the Willis Eye Hospital Cornea Service and Medscape Ophthalmology. I'm Dr. Christopher Rapuano, the chief of the Cornea Service at Willis Eye, and I'm here with my colleague,
Dr. Amir Azari, an attending on the Cornea Service.
So, Amir, corneal cross-linking has been in the news lately. Can you tell us about this? Is this something important for patients and doctors to know about?
Sure, Chris. Corneal cross-linking is used to strengthen the cornea in certain diseases that the cornea is weak. One such disease is keratoconus, also post-lytic ectasia, where the cornea becomes thin and becomes weak, and patients, as a result, become more nearsighted and they develop a lot of astigmatism. So this procedure, what it does, generally, the epithelium is taken off and the patient is treated with riboflavin and UV radiation to strengthen and stabilize the cornea, and in some cases even reverse the disease process.
So how common is keratoconus? Is this a rare disease, or do we see patients with this all the time?
It's a pretty common disease in our practice. We see about 10 to 20% of our patients in our practice have keratoconus. In the population, the disease frequency is about 1 in 1,000.
Yeah, so that's right. So we do see a lot of patients. It makes up a big part of our practice. And what types of patients have keratoconus in general? Are they younger, older, men, women?
It kind of runs across all ages and all gender and background ethnicities. Generally, the patients that we see in our practice that are good candidate for collagen cross-linking are probably younger patients who are showing progression. So even if I see a patient for the first time, if they are very young and they have keratoconus on their topography, maybe also on the clinical exam, I consider doing cross-linking a little bit earlier. If I have patients who are adult or a little bit older, I tend to follow them and look for a progression of keratoconus based on topographical testing and sometimes even clinically, and offer them the cross-linking as a way to stop the progression of the disease. And, the younger we catch the disease, more likely we can slow down the disease process and prevent having them needing a, for instance, corneal transplant down the road.
Yeah. I mean, keratoconus generally comes on, in childhood, between the ages of 10 and 25. It tends to get worse either slowly or quickly, depending on the patient, for up until age 40 or 45. So, patients who are over 40, 45, 50, usually the progression has slowed down or even stopped, and cross-linking probably isn't ideal for many of those patients. But we know that a lot of our European colleagues or colleagues around the world who have the ability to do cross-linking, if they diagnose a child with keratoconus, they're just doing the cross-linking right away without waiting for progression, knowing that the vast majority of these patients will progress.
Chris, let me ask you this. You've been involved in some of the studies here at Wills Eye Hospital. What has your experience been with some of the collagen cross-linking?
Yeah, so that's we were involved with the Avedro cross-linking study for the past couple years, and that study limited us to age 12 and above, and it was an epithelium off study, so we had to remove the surface layer, put the riboflavin in, and then use the ultraviolet light. And that worked well. The vast majority of our patients have stabilized, and many of them have even gotten a little bit better as far as vision and corneal curvature, which isn't what we kind of tell patients the goal is, but it's icing on the cake if we get that. And we've noticed that a reasonable number do seem to have improved.
Do you use it in diseases other than keratoconus?
Yeah, so our study had two arms. It had a keratoconus arm, and then it had a post-refractive surgery arm. So some patients, after refractive surgery, especially LASIK, the cornea gets thinner, gets weak, and then starts bulging out, causing a keratoconus-like condition called post-LASIK ectasia, and we did cross-linking on some of those patients too. Those patients are fewer in number, a lot more keratoconus patients, and those patients seem to do well too. In general, the results, at least in our hands and in other published studies, are not quite as good for the post-refractive ectasia patients than they are for the keratoconus patients.
Does collagen cross-linking have other applications other than helping patients with post-lytic ectasia or keratoconus?
Yeah, there are some other kind of thinning conditions that it may be helpful for, but it's also been used around the world in a small number of patients to treat infections because ultraviolet light can kill bacteria, fungus, and other organisms, and may be a treatment for corneal ulcers. The studies that have been out there are small studies, and it's a little hard to tell, and we have not been able to do that at Wills because it wasn't part of our study and our study protocol, but if it gets FDA approved, we may be able to do that down the road. Now, currently, there are two main techniques kind of being done in the U.S. and around the world. One, the one we were in the study where the epithelium comes off, create a big scratch on the cornea, put the riboflavin in. There's another technique where the epithelium is left on, the riboflavin is put in, and then the cross-linking is done through the epithelium. The advantage to leaving the epithelium on is that there's minimal to no scratch on the cornea, and it's much less uncomfortable, less painful after, with fewer side effects. But the results in literature have shown that if you leave the epithelium on, the effect is often not quite as good as if you take the epithelium off. But people are working on ways to make the epithelium on technique more effective because it's definitely more comfortable and patients do like it better. Now, as far as FDA approval goes, you know, it's been available around the world for years. It was developed in Germany, 15 years ago. 10-year data on a reasonable number of patients, 5-year data on hundreds of patients. But in the U.S., again, it's still not FDA approved. The Avedro company went to the FDA panel in 2014, and they said, we like what we see, but we need more data. And they went to the FDA panel a month ago, and the FDA panel recommended approval to the FDA for corneal cross-linking. So as of right now, as you and I are talking, it's not FDA approved, but we're very hopeful that it will be FDA approved sometime, in the next month, 3 months, 6 months, and we're hopeful. When it's FDA approved, though, it takes a while for doctors to be able to do it. Even though we have our unit here, it'll probably need to be shipped back to Avedro and have to be re-engineered for the specific FDA approval, and then we'll need to get the answers from the FDA as to who it's approved for, who can do it, how we can do it, what technique, and things like that. So as of right now, we don't know a lot of the specifics about FDA approval, but we're certainly quite eager for it to be approved because we have a lot of patients that we think would benefit.
Absolutely, Chris.
That just about does it. This has been a collaboration between Medscape Ophthalmology and Wills Eye Hospital. Thank you for tuning in.